Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best-selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new Day All-Purpose Cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Yes, if you're hearing David Silver rap, that means it's time for another episode in the Beats Around the Bush season of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. I am your funky fresh co-host, Mark Blankenship, and with me, as always, is the so deaf Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Word to the third.
So tell me, Sarah, what's up with this week's exploration of sonic experiments?
Oh my God. So gently, diplomatically, and southernly put. We are calling this episode Cringe Hop, so I probably don't need to elaborate. But once again, if you've just arrived to this season, Beats Around the Bush is Beats Hip Hop from around the first H.W. Bush presidency, so roughly 88 to 92. These are almost without exception right in the center of that lane. You've got just a lot of just really off-putting 91 and 92 quote hits that are just super embarrassing. Like, it's the kind of thing that is still clattering around on your playlists and your Spotify, but then when you pull up to a stoplight on the Sawmill Parkway, it's not like JVC Force where you're like, I'm just going to leave the window down and hope for the best. You are rolling up the window. You are putting on a second pair of sunglasses. You are possibly running the red light to get away from anyone hearing you blasting selections from, for example, CNC Music Factory, Young MC's second album, rapper turned motivational speaker Jesse James. We have a list of 10 songs that we feel embody the concept of cringe hop, and some of them still hold up. Others need to be shot and buried at midnight by a full moon, and we're going to talk about them all, and also we're going to do some reminiscing and some eye rolling and some laughing and crying, and it will be better than Cats. Mark, would you mind listing all of the mortifications that we're about to put ourselves and you listeners through today?
Yes. Oh, happily so. First, we're going to be talking about CNC Music Factory's Things That Make You Go, Fat Boys, Wipeout, Gerardo's Rico Suave, Jesse James, that J-A-Y-M-E-S, Shake It Like a White Girl, Crisscross, I Missed the Bus, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch featuring Lolita Holloway, Good Vibrations, Vanilla Ice, Ninja Rap, MC Hammer, Adam's Groove, and a two-pack from Young MC, both Bust a Move and That's the Way Love Goes, not to be confused by the actually good song by Janet Jackson.
Yeah, thank you for that qualifier. We're going to be ending on a low note for sure.
Or is it a high note of a different sort?
Well, I mean, I do have things to say about one Myra Cormier bailing the shit out of that shit, but that's many minutes away. First, we have to get through a lot of garbaggio, starting with CNC Music Factory, Things That Make You Go, This hit came out in 1990. Talk about omnipresent and then nowhere to be seen.
So just a little bit of table setting. The C and C in CNC Music Factory stand for Robert Clavillis and David Cole, as you mentioned. They are the producers. They also brought us songs like Emotions by Mariah Carey. So they didn't only work with CNC Music Factory. The rapper that you hear on this track is named Freedom Williams, and the woman singing is named Zelma Davis. Now, in early 1991, they reached the top of the Hot 100 with Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now, a song that everyone still hears all the time, Sarah. I feel like that's fair to say.
If you have been in the same room as a sporting event that's on television, you're still hearing Jump from House of Pain, and you're still hearing that.
Yes, and so we won't get into the big scandal that happened at the time where Martha Wash was not credited for her vocals, because it's a different episode altogether. They had a second hit called Here We Go, Let's Rock and Roll, which was, you know, pretty good. And then they had this, their third and final top 10 hit, which reached number 4 on the Hot 100. And you're right, Sarah, that they pretty much vanished after that. They did have a song in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie that the cheerleaders perform at a football game. I'm sure you remember it well. David Cole, not to be confused with the David Cole that we know and love, he unfortunately died of AIDS-related causes in the mid-90s, which put an immediate end to their work together. And I would say, Sarah, that Gonna Make You Sweat and certainly Mariah Carey's Emotions are good for the old legacy, but then we get Things That Make You Go, Despite reaching number 4, it is trapped in that style of cringe hop where someone just basically tells 5 or 6 unrelated short stories, slams them together in an awkward cadence, puts a hook between them, and then the song goes on for 11 minutes. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, that, you know, the death of not the one we know and love, David Cole, known and loved by many others, I'm sure, that sort of explains why CNC Music Factory vanished. But also, this is so of its time and in all the worst ways. Like, one of my notes reads, I would say that we should have done the mystery of CNC Music Factory, but there is no mystery. There is absolutely no way this sound was getting out of 1993 alive.
Yeah, it seriously. Did not. Seriously.
All right, let's hear a clip.
Ladies, have you ever had a man go away for business, come back with a tan, comes home late at night from work? You cooked him dinner, now you feel like a jerk, saying he didn't have time to eat, and he's not even hungry, he wants to be free. Took the bedroom, he says his hand hurts, you're only making love in radical spurts. Mysterious calls and the phone goes click, you say to yourself, I'm gonna hit him with a brick. Ain't no way he could be cheating on me, I wonder who bought him those DVDs. Dressed to a tee to go hang with the fellas, over the guys and I'm getting jealous. Coming home late, smelling like perfume.
Things that make you go.
Things that make you go.
Sarah, I chose the clip for this song, and I'll just say there are a lot of songs in this episode that do what that clip does, which is say inane shit like, I'm going to hit him with a brick.
And that, it's like, but at least that makes some sense. Like, the previous verse, when it becomes clear that his full-time nobody housemate has been banging his wife and impregnated her and the kid is his.
Right.
Uses the word conceive incorrectly. Like, if this is the story that you're going to tell on yourself, know what reproductive terms mean. That has bugged me for 30 years.
Well, similarly, in this clip, you hear you're only making love in radical spurts. I think you mean erratic spurts, sir.
Yeah. And don't say spurts to me in a pop song, sir. How dare you? It just... And also, this is like ironic in that these are not things that make you go, hmm. These are things that make you go, you're a fucking idiot. Like, could he be cheating on her? Like, yes. He's practically coming home with an iron-on t-shirt that's like, I have a girlfriend.
Well, and then in the first verse, the girlfriend is distrustful of him. So she sets him up by sending one of her friends to come seduce him.
Right.
And she's like watching from the closet or something. And it's like, this is not a good relationship, sir.
No. And then, like, the sort of climactic moment is her being like, girlfriend. And then it's like, so, but what happened? She's blaming her friend. I mean, this is the plot of a Cheers episode, and not in a good way.
Yeah. And I think that you're right, too, that the lack of resolution does not help. This
dramaturgically speaking, it does not succeed.
This song was based on a catchphrase that Arsenio Hall used on his talk show, because mm-hmm. there would be things that made Arsenio Hall go, hmm. But I have to believe that the things that made Arsenio go, hmm, were more compelling than the things that make Freedom Williams and company go, hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was 12 when this song was a single. I liked it then. But oh my God, I really, really, really do not like it now. And my mother-in-law bought the cassette single. That was a thing that I learned about her early in my time with my now husband, yeah. which I have always admired, because why not?
I mean, there is a like legendary, like having to win an Emmy Award to, you know, for responding positively to a gift that is like, absolutely not. And it's a good thing that my brother usually got stuck with these, because he did go to governor school for acting. And a family member who I will not specify got him the CNC Music Factory CD in like for his birthday in like 91. So he yes. would have been like, I mean, he's your age. So he would have been 13. And it was already starting to be past the sell-by at that point. Maybe it was 92. I don't totally remember. But it was like, my brother was like learning guitar. He was heavy into like music and acting and the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. And for him to receive this compact disc, like there was a what felt like a very long silence. At the table, and then I was like, pull it out, Dave, pull it out. And he's like, oh wow, I've been wanting. And I was like, good, well done, you could sell yes. it. And he sold it, and then he immediately began using the CD as a coaster, because also you didn't need the fucking CD. These tracks were everywhere.
Well, let me tell you, I also had I had the tape, which I'm almost certain I got from Columbia House when you got 10 tapes for a penny or something.
Oh, sure.
The only good songs were the three singles, Gonna Make You Sweat, Here We Go, and This. And in retrospect, that means there were two good songs.
Yeah.
Now, CNC Music Factory definitely were at the forefront of the new jack swing sound, sort of evolving into a heavier club sound. There's a lot of cool shit that they were responsible for bringing to the forefront of music at the time. And again, we've talked about Mariah Carey's Emotions on this show. I love that song.
Yeah.
But this song sounds so chintzy and cheap. And
it does. And it's not the only time we're going to talk about how not just this, but like everything from this time seemed cheap. Men's suits. hairstyles looked cheap. Like, that perm looked like it was $5. Like, everything just looked cheap, and I don't exactly get it.
Well, and the other thing is, okay, I'm not saying that Gonna Make You Sweat has the world's greatest lyrics, but it does feature the line, "It's your world and I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut to move your butt to the dance floor, so yo, what's up?" Like, that's dumb in a way that is appealing. If he says it again, "I'm going to hit him with a brick," is just dumb. And I just, there's such a fine line that I've been trying to parse as I've been preparing for this episode of what makes a lyric so stupid that I can't even enjoy it anymore. And there's also something, it's something about the awkwardness of the phrasing, and it's something about the awkwardness of the cadence. I have never thought more about what makes rap delivery feel uncomfortable than I have in this episode.
Yeah, and there is something about, and this is a sort of shite motif of this episode as well, that like when the flow is guided by a more cynical, like project management based,
yes,
framework, as I think it is here, because like things that make you go "hmm" is a title and a sort of, you know, chorus principle structure that is going to get you airplay, not to mention that it was tied to Arsenio. So that's not that it necessarily started out in that cynical way, but like when it's sort of tied to the idea that, like you can get away with this with balladry, and like if you wrote "I will be right here waiting for you," for instance, your friend and mine, Richard Marx, like, okay, does he ever have to work a day in his life again because this is played at every single wedding and on Light FM forever? No, he doesn't. Did it start out from that place of being like, "I need to write a first dance song so that I can just sit around watching soap operas"? No. And that's why it's still like, I don't care for the song, but it has its merits as like a sincere piece of work, right?
Right.
This doesn't feel entirely like it comes from that place. And also, like, there's just a lot of just because of the way that the flow is put out front of a it just sounds cheap, this beat, like you said. So there's nowhere for certain tortuous locutions to hide. And I wrote down a few that it's like, you are too proud of this. This is a B minus.
Yes.
At my school, God knows what it's getting at Mark's school. Never forget. And I just like, it all just feels like kind of, I mean, I hate to keep saying cynical, but like, I don't know how else to put it. We're going to see this a bunch of times later in that episode.
Take a slightly more charitable read in that I would like to believe that everybody was just goofing around, having fun, and they were like, "Oh, we could turn this into a song," and then they went for it one night, and maybe they were laughing as they did it. But the fact that this was considered good enough to take it out of the late night everybody's laughing place and put it into the single release to radio place is, in retrospect, distressing. Well, but obviously at the time it worked. Like, this was a huge hit. It was number 4. The music video, I will say, is very good. The visuals on the music video are quite innovative, and they still look good now. But mm-hmm. You know,
that looks expensive.
Yes, but the music video looks shitty. Expensive.
It just sounds tinny. And it's interesting that there are a lot of things that we talked about in the Salt and Peppa episode that have the same late night fucking around feel, but then for whatever reason, and I don't actually know the reason.
Well, that, for one thing, Salt and Peppa just have so much more charisma and personality
yeah.
as performers. They just sound like they're having fun. And this This song, I don't know. It's just, again, if you're going to write three short stories in a song, you need to make them better. Okay, I feel like, honestly, for our souls and spirits, we should probably allow CNC Music Factory to recede from view.
I mean, I guess. I'm just trying to figure out. And the other thing is, like, even when Salt and Pepper sounds like a first draft, it doesn't tend to sound this tinny. Like, the actual aural experience is one of... I don't know. It just is a ripoff. And, like, don't say spurts to me, yeah. I guess is the bottom line. Like, well, someone, and help. You know, but also, this just seems machined and not in that good Max Martin way that you like. This just seems kind of built and not well.
Like, if you're going to do something just to goof on an Arsenio Hall joke, it needs to be smarter than this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also a good...
Okay, I said we should let it go, but I can't let it go. Okay, so here we go. I just feel like if you listen to Everybody Sweat, you can hear still that that is a song that is driven by an urgent energy. Like, it's get your ass out there and dance. Passion. Don't diminish that with this. Although, again, it was popular at the time, but in retrospect, I say no.
Well, and it's like, you know, what's the deal with airline peanuts, but in hip-hop form? Like,
yeah.
If you're going to do that, be Seinfeld or get out. And this is not Seinfeld or Arsenio or anything like it. Like, I don't think that you need to necessarily have, like, this, what is basically a, like, George Jones song in early 90s cheap sounding hip hop form. That it's like, here are a bunch of times when people were terrible to each other and should have broken up. Like, that's not that's fuck off.
So one thing you've touched on that I think actually leads us quite nicely to the Fat Boys. The Fat Boys knew they were a novelty act from the second they arrived. They fully embraced the fact that they were a novelty act. And I have a type of real respect for the Fat Boys that they were not fronting like they were anything other than some loud dudes who were there to be clowns and make you laugh and have a good time. And they didn't have a shred of artistic integrity, but they leaned into it.
Yeah. I mean, there was no pretension, which is good because there is absolutely no way that any Fat Boy song wouldn't collapse under such a thing.
Well, and I think it says a lot that their two biggest hits were remakes of hits from the 60s. They remade Wipeout with the Beach Boys, and they remade The Twist with Chubby Checker. Both of those songs reached the top 20 in the United States. They both reached number 2 in the UK. And there were no pretensions like they were doing anything exciting. They were like, yeah, these are some old songs, and we're remaking them as new songs. And it's not like when Run DMC and Aerosmith got together and did Walk This Way. These were songs that were explicitly made so that the people at Club Med could feel cool as they listened to this newfangled rap. But it also sounded like something that they had enjoyed. And it is explicitly designed to be hip-hop for the masses. And I understand why people perhaps would resist that as hip-hop evolved as an art form. But at the same time, I do have a lot of space in my heart for these types of feel-good party songs that are not trying to be anything else. And I think that is why there is a softness in my soul for the Fat Boys.
I mean, I have a softness in my heart for the Fat Boys also. This particular song, I'm pretty excited that this will end my personal and professional association with it. But I will say this. Their drive to get paid no matter what,
right,
was admirable. And Disorderly's The Fat Boys film,
yeah,
was one of those that HBO bought for like the change that was in some executive's couch cushions. And they just played it like 5 times a day all summer, one summer. And as a result, my brother and I have probably watched it more times than people who were in it and wrote it. And it's not good, but it's also one of those, like, we've seen it a million times touchstones for me and my sibling, where we were just like chilling out, drinking Cokes, flicking things at each other and watching Disorderlies or Just One of the Guys or whatever it was. I did listen to a few other selections from their 1987 album, and they're all so bad. This is bad also, but the flow is just yelling. Boyfriend's just yelling, just hollering. Okay.
The flow, such as it is.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me to think that this, the album that we're referring to, Crushin', reached number 8 on the Billboard album chart in 1987. So before Tone Loc, it reached number 8. It was a platinum album. This was in that first wave of Push It and all those other sort of party hip hop songs.
Yeah, this is a little earlier than most of the other stuff we're talking about. It's 87.
But still, it's still very much in the spirit of what we're discussing here. And also, George H.W. Bush was vice president in 87, so it's fine.
Yeah. All right, we have a clip. I tried to keep it short. Here are the Fat Boys featuring the Beach Boys. Wipeout.
I mean, you're so right that it's not so much a flow as it is just yelling.
As a holler or a wail. I mean, you know, you read sometimes about like the constant legal wrangling that various factions of the Beach Boys, which like there's so many suits and countersuits that you would think the group was like 78 people. It isn't. It's just Mike Love being a twat all the time. But they are constantly suing each other and like fighting over who gets to tour with the name and who gets to perform which things. 98% of the time you're like, y'all, you're in your 80s. Just like get over it. Like whatever happened, Brian Wilson like retreated from the entire world instead of having to deal with your bullshit. Like get over it. 98% of the time you're like, I don't get why they can't just make peace. This is that 2% where you're like, whoever agreed among the Beach Boys that they should participate in this, and they sound like shit also, P.S. This is just droning. No. And I like surf rock, okay? Whoever agreed to this should be sued by America because it's so bad. But on the other hand, this takes that cynicism and paycheck grubbing that we were talking about when we were talking about CNC Music Factory and pushes it so far that it comes back around to authentic. I don't know if you agree.
Well, I do think you're right. Like, again, they're just not in any way trying to disguise that they are trying to cash in. And you know, in an accident, I actually listened to, instead of this song, which of course I remember, I listened to their follow-up single, which was their remake of The Twist with Chubby Checker. And that
one
song
is, I am so sorry that you blundered over there, because that one is like actively unpleasant to listen to, in my opinion. How did you find it?
I was surprised at how much I liked it.
Really?
It's like, I think that they kind of go off on that song in a way that I like. They kind of go hard.
I'm just not really a Chubby Checker guy also is the issue. So that combination is not going to be bunt nip, but I'm glad that you had a good experience.
I'm not going to pretend like I think it's great, but it wasn't painful.
Kent State, their name does something for people. When people hear that you're a Kent State grad, they're like, oh yeah, I have a lot of nurses like that. And they're good nurses. They want to hire you because you're from Kent State in their nursing program. they teach the art of nursing. They teach the therapeutic communication. They teach how to really care for the person and not just knowledge. Even when it's hard in classes, even when this is a new adjustment, the school itself has the people and the support that you need to be the best nurse that you can be.
Begin at Kent State University.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The other thing that I'm struck by when I listen to this song, oh, I actually have to make a correction as well. In the Tone Loc episode, I said that Loc'd After Dark was the first hip hop album to go to number one, but it wasn't. It was Licensed to Ill by the Beastie Boys, which was 2 years prior, and I do regret the error. I was correct that Tone Loc was the first hip hop artist to have a platinum single, and he did it 2 times in a row. But the album that was the first hip-hop album to go to number one was Licensed to Ill. And I bring that up, Sarah, because to me, the Fat Boys, I feel like, are going for a similar type of shouting party vibe that the Beastie Boys go for.
Oh, and yeah. Fight for Your Right. Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah.
But Fight for Your Right is just better.
Yeah. Well, it's just got a better, it's a better marriage of the samples. And like No Sleep Till Brooklyn, also quite yelly, but like the Beastie Boys are yelly. Like I don't want to get into an at debate about their genius, which I will just stipulate while also saying that their like their aural like their timbre is not always for me. Their speech,
yes,
Beastie Boys
fair.
Songs I like a lot, but that, I mean, it is a lot of like hollering over a very fuzzy guitar that's like, you know, you could just turn that down, right, Yauk? Like,
including your volume on your voice?
Yeah, I mean, he can't, but you know.
The other thing that's striking to me about so many of these songs, this song is a great example. A lot of rap at this period always was structured so that it would be like, da 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 rhyme, da 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 rhyme. And it wouldn't be any sort of continued thought that would exist over a verse. It would just be a series of couplets.
Yeah.
And that is hard to listen to now because rap has gotten so much more sophisticated.
Well, and it already was sophisticated, like stuff from the same time frame.
Fair.
That was not getting played on the radio because it had swears and was trying to grapple in a real way with bias and racial disparities, had so much better, denser, deeper, more fuckable flow on in every aspect. In some ways, I keep coming back to the fact that, like, you know, I was watching a basketball game yesterday and Ice-T is now doing these Honey Nut Cheerios commercials and just like totally playing with his reputation over many years of its evolution. And I just remember talking in a recent episode about like, you don't expect his flow to be that alluring. Like,
yeah,
it's not designed to be sexy and it's not quite sexy, but it's like, it's magnetic. And his rap timbre is like surprising. And then Def Jeff, like, I will not have to be asked twice.
Well, you that know, is some of course
and what panty I... dropping flow. But like but in radio hip hop, I think you're right on that. So much of it was like, because this is a little more, I don't know what the word is, surface. Sometimes this isn't always true, but the stuff that was getting to the radio that was more family friendly and less like PhD level sociology of the you know, class war, is maybe more simplistic on the delivery level as well. What I don't know is a lot. I'm just.
Yeah, and I mean, again, I get the impression, and I may also be wrong, that because so much of this music started at parties and gatherings, it wasn't really about telling sophisticated stories a lot of the time. It was just about keeping the club or the crowd happy.
Yeah, yeah. And having a good call and response, easy things to like remember, hooky choruses, like, which it's fine.
But the fact is that radio hip hop evolved very quickly away from this, because even if you go back to the first episode in this season with the trippy, the like hippie hop songs that we were talking about, those songs are so complicated and layered rhythmically, lyrically. Then you've got obviously all the stuff that Dr. Dre was doing. And, you know, it's just this stuff feels like playground, where everything else that I've just described feels like grown up.
Yeah. And then you also have sort of this fork in the road where there were certain artists who were getting a lot of radio play who were trying to like keep it clean and be, I don't know, like be in that not PSA space, but just be like, it is possible to have a booty shaker that is not doing anything over a PG rating.
Yeah. Well, and again, this is, and I think that Walk This Way by Run DMC is a good example of a song that does that, and it's not embarrassing. Like,
yeah,
it is possible, but this is the Cringe Hop episode, so Run DMC shall not be clipped at this time.
No, and speaking of above a PG, shall we move on then?
Sarah, the nadir of
Beats Around the Bush.
I'm covering my face even thinking about it. I had not heard Rico Suave by Gerardo in such a long time.
I hadn't either.
Sarah, I think in a sort of self-protective psychological way, I had not allowed myself to remember how truly terrible this song is.
Oh my God.
It is produced
by...
It is produced by Michael Cimbello, who wrote and performed Maniac from the Flashdance soundtrack.
You reminded me of this earlier this week, and I chose to repress it.
So Michael Cimbello perhaps incorrectly remembered as a one-hit wonder, because this song was also a hit, but maybe he'd rather would be remembered as a one-hit wonder. Gerardo went on, after having this one hit, to become a very successful music executive. He brought Enrique Iglesias' first two English language albums to the United States, where they were very successful. He is now, of course, a youth minister, because so many people who were popular in the 90s now run churches. That's just a thing you have to do. But at the time of this song, Sarah, I found an interview with him where he was talking about how he was such a horn dog that he had sex with over 500 women.
Okay.
By his estimation. And okay. I would say, listening to this song, I don't understand how one woman would have said yes. Let's just listen to a clip, and then we can go through the muck.
Suave. I mean, it's not a woman that can handle a man like me. That's why I juggle two or three. I ain't wanna commit. You can omit that bit. You pop the question, that's it. I mean, un, dos, tres, cuatro mujeres. Y la situación ahí no muere, no es un delito. Calmo mi apetito, como un llanto, un grito. So again, don't let my lyrics mislead ya. I don't love you, but I need ya. Would you rather have me lie, take a piece of your pie, and say bye, or be honest and rub your thighs?
Rico. Suave.
Would you rather have me lie and take a piece of your pie, or be honest and rub your thigh? That is an F minus, Gerardo.
at any school. Okay, the fact is that this is not a choice that I will have to make, because in a subsequent verse, you are so fucking rude to my mother, who is just trying to fix you a plate, and you're like, what is this, rice with an egg on it? Barf. Like, bro, so true. Barb would have cleft him in twain with a fork.
There literally is an entire verse about how he hates his girlfriend's mother's cooking. It's so
he rhymes parents and appearance, which is annoying. I mean, I guess in any other song I would maybe consider it clever, but this guy's a dingleberry, so I don't. Then he cracks on her cooking. He thinks he's being super clever by saying in Spanish how, okay, bye, I'll have her back early in the morning. Like, you're not getting to the end of the driveway without getting an ass full of buckshot from someone in that house, because fuck you. And then that's basically the end of the song, but there's another 2 minutes of him groaning, Rico, suave. Like, you know what? You're not good at this. I can't imagine you were any good in bed. I would like to read your Yelp reviews from all 500 of these women. Good luck with your church. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, to his credit, he was cute.
He was cute.
The end.
In that, like, extreme, the band way. Like, if you like hair longer than yours, ladies,
or
we
Nelson.
Got great news for you. Hope you brought an extra bandana.
I mean, the hair length is also very 90s. Extreme, Nelson, Gerardo, you're so right.
So 90s.
But this guy, he's just the worst kind of straight boy asshole who thinks that he knows he's cute, but he thinks he's cute, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, he's cute, but he thinks he's Clooney.
Right, exactly. And he's cute, but he thinks
so
he's Clooney.
So arrogant, and not in that, like, there is, and look, I'm hot and I will make you scream all night long is a staple of popular songcraft. I don't have a problem with someone basically devoting a whole song or album to the concept that they have 9 inches, they know how to use it, and they don't have to be nice to your ma. Okay.
Or career, if you'd like to talk about Prince, who actually was sexy and was a genius. And then there's this clown who's
Because this isn't charming. This is just sort of sad. And, like, it's funny for that reason, for a verse. And then you're like, I don't have time for this. Get off my property.
Yeah. It's like, you think you're charming and you're just so transparently stupid.
But mom, you don't understand him. Yeah, I do. I fucked a whole bunch of that, and no thank you on both our behalves. This is not going to be worth it, girl.
Don't get dickmatized.
No. And I cannot imagine that he's not a fucking three pump chump either. Jesus. Anyway, not to be speculating on Gerardo's prowess. Maybe now that he's found the Lord, he knows which end is up. But, like, yeah, this is absolutely the kind of thing that, like, once you turn 30, you have absolutely no time for this person or his anthem. So brutal.
I mean, I will say, I think as an adult, Gerardo does understand that this song is terrible.
Yes, I think he does too.
I mean, I don't think that he's fronting like this is a lost masterpiece.
No. And there is, like, goofy Joey Lawrence energy at times in this song that is sort of the only thing that makes me not want to drive to his church with a flaming bag of poo. But, you know, I don't think it's unforgivable, but it's, I mean, especially at this distance, mostly it's hilarious, but also it's just, you know, fucking bad.
I would also like to just say, as a note of hope for the culture, that Though this song reached number 7 in 1991, it currently on Spotify has only 2 million streams. The culture has lost it, and it should be lost.
2 million radical spurts, you mean?
Two million pieces of the pie thigh, high try by Cupid, stupid arrow sparrow.
Pencil utensil. This is terrible, but this is also one that, like, you know, once it sort of like the poppy seed of this got stuck at the gum line of the culture, like, I don't really remember if this was one that we were like making fun of it already at the time. I think we were, but we also knew every word of it.
Well,
including Spanish, so.
Because it was very, very hard to avoid, also.
Yeah.
All right, well, now, this brings us to a song that I will say, Sarah, I did not know until we were preparing this season, and I am delighted to know it is probably not the right adjective, but I'm not as sad as one might expect to have heard Shake It Like a White Girl by Delicious Vinyl recording artist Jesse James.
Yes, born Jesse Itzler in Long Island, New York. He brought us this. I think this was his only hit from the album called 30 Footer in Your Face. This video is a time in fashion and life. And this is how I was introduced to the song. Was like, I would get home. This came out in 92. So I'm in college, and I would like get home that summer and just be sort of like, it was late. I was rummaging around for a snack, and there was, for whatever reason, like, it was Headbangers Ball time, I guess, on MTV, which I did not care for. But there was this other like public access channel called something very anodyne, like More Music or something like that. And they would have a lot of this kind of lesser slash novelty hip hop videos on, and I would just like be watching them and eating some chips, and they played the shit out of Shake It Like a White Girl, and like just from the opening maracas, I was like, I know this is bad, but I love it like it's human. And I still do. I know every single word. It's an excellent walking song for hashtag old lady walks. Let's hear a clip. Was Rita, a five cheerleader. I never seen a girl looking any sweeter. I asked her out and she said okay. So I took her to a party around the way. The party was pumping, the gear was something. Showing off her stomach and her belly button. She asked me to dance and I said for sure. Next thing you know, we was on the dance floor. Should have seen my baby shake it like crazy.
You know, here's the thing. This song, again, it's 3 or 4 short story verses. It's the exact same cadence that you're going to hear in every other Delicious Vinyl song by Young MC, by Tone Loc. But you're right, Sarah. There is something like, there's just something a little effervescent about this particular ode to white girls and what they shake.
Yeah. Like, this is a guy who's like from the tri-state suburbs, but. And, you know, the video is like, it's a bunch of girls in like bustier tops and white and black checker print short shorts.
Of course. Yes.
There's a lot of shots of their butts. And then he sticks his face into the frame and he's kind of cute in that like shaggy, toothy guy playing, you know, doing a hacky sack dance at the edge of the, you know, Mighty Mouse show reggae white boy way. This little, you know, Lennon glasses and his backwards hat. And it's like, I knew that guy. I made out with that guy a bunch in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. Like, I don't hate the mise-en-scene. And I respect the hustle. This is someone who I think knows that he has one okay song in him. And this is it. And
let's ride it as long as we can.
Yeah. And also the cheerful, like, I am a hip hop loving white boy with Vans on, and I can only be what I am. Here is my story of showing up to the prom as it was ending and watching my date clamber up on a speaker and do the Lambada by herself. Like, well, okay, that, you know, this is the song of your people. Got it. And then this guy went on to be like, now you can hire him as a corporate speaker. He married the founder of Spanx. So even if his hustle wasn't getting it done, now he and his wife are like part owners of the Atlanta Hawks. He has a bunch of Gulf Streams.
He's also involved. He owns some sort of private jet rental company or something. Yeah. It's like so crazy.
And I mean, we'll link it in the show notes. He has a whole website. He has books. You can hire him to either come and speak at your company, or you can go on his, I think he has like 10K bike ride / meditation. It's like retreats on wheels or something. I don't even know. He's that guy who, and this also describes Burt Bacharach, and don't ask why I know that, but he's that guy who like shows up to work in a Patagonia and bike lycras, and you're just like, I love our boss and he doesn't mean any harm, but I know so much about his penis and I can't. Like he's like, what? Like, I was getting my reps in, and you're like, put on a pair of Umbros. The world is waiting.
I just gotta have to finish this green juice.
Oh my God. Yeah. And there's always someone named Darcy, like trailing three steps behind him with a French press. And you're like, I mean, it's basically harmless. And we get 4 weeks of vacation, but also that's the outline of your penis.
Oh, anyway. Jesse James. Yeah. I mean, and yet at the same time, of the songs we've discussed so far on this episode, if you said I must re-listen to one of them, this is the one I would choose.
This one or Bust a Move, probably.
Oh, I meant the ones we've talked about so far.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I listen to this one without having to constantly still because I have deep-seated problems.
Well, okay, talking about voluntary listening, I was not prepared for how much I liked I Missed the Bus by Criss Cross, Sarah.
I was prepared because that was already in my iTunes library for similar reasons. I just want to double back quickly to Shake It Like a White Girl
I'm so sorry. Yes.
I think that this is, you know, like it's not advanced work, right? But I do respect that he like stays in his lane. Like he doesn't try to do anything too fancy with the flow. In the clip we heard, like, you gotta love people who don't bother disguising the tri-state area glottal stop. So, belly button. Uh-huh.
Yep.
I know that guy. And the slow build of the sample and the way the breaks are cut in, I think is proficient.
Yeah. The sample actually does a lot of work here. It's well produced.
Oh, yeah, it does. Which that's always true to an extent, but if you got a good one, just let it work for you, and he does.
Yeah, totally.
Back to Missing the Bus.
So on some level, this song is cringy because it's a rap song about children who can't get to school on time. But then as I've been thinking about it, well, this was a song that was performed by children, and mm-hmm. it's actually a pretty detailed description of the various frustrations of being a kid, and it takes those frustrations seriously. And also, Criss Cross, these boys are the best rappers we're going to be discussing in this entire episode.
Yeah.
And I think that this song is actually, I'm glad that we put it in here to have it as a counterpoint, because I don't think this song is cringy at all. I think it is a remarkably good song. They've got incredible flow. Jermaine Dupri, who was their producer, put a fucking dope ass beat underneath it. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a difference between being childish and taking childhood seriously, if you will. And
yeah, it does what it it does what it can with the middle grade concerns on offer, and then it gets out. Like, yeah. It is still a little too long at 3 minutes, but, and you are also dealing with some timbre issues, in my opinion, because this, like, their voices were in flux because they were, what, 12
yeah.
by this time? So, you know, there was a lot going on, but, like, talk about excellent samples. They include on this track James Brown's Funky President, parentheses, People It's Bad, which the song is not. I think it's actually their best one. I think that when you mention Criss Cross, people who, it's an if you know, you know thing, where people who know I Missed the Bus will immediately mention it and defend it. And
yeah,
rightly so, I think, because it also samples Run DMC and Beretta's theme by Sammy Davis Jr. Like, that is some, that's some big weaponry for a song about a fucking fifth grader who's just standing on the corner of his neighborhood like, well, shit. So
whose yeah. backpack got busted and now he's disgusted. It's just
the shoes are scuffed and now he's disgusted. Like, I've been there this week, friend. Let's hear a clip because this is definitely a song that my brother was putting on mixtapes for me for like 3 years. He's why I know this song. My brother comes up a lot in this episode. But this parts of this song are still a call and response with me and Dave for like to this day, 30 years later. So here's a clip from Criss Cross's cult classic, may I say?
Sure.
Too far? Okay. Don't miss the bus on this.
Down the hill and I rush, rush. I ran down the hill trying to catch the bus. Now I'm hoping to myself everything is cool. Standing on my block like a fool. But why am I alone until the bus is gone? Three of them in school is freaking out, been home. Can somebody come real fast to my rescue? I'm stuck at the crib and I don't know what to do. I missed the bus. I missed the bus. I missed the bus. And that is something I would never, ever, ever do again. I missed the bus. I missed the bus. I missed the bus. And that is something I would never, ever, ever do again. I was up, he was up, but I laid back down. Figured I could chill till the time came around. And I did, he did, but a little too long. Cause when I woke up, yo, the bus was gone.
They're just such good rappers, Sarah. I just really like it.
Yeah. And like, they're very confident, but not in that like precocious, obnoxious kid star way.
Right.
I feel like they're, I don't remember anything from else from this album except like the much bigger hit, but like, it is very difficult. And like, you see this in sort of like mid-century country music, you see this in like early pop music, anything where like you have a child star who is extremely talented, but like there's only so much that you can give them to do because there's only so much that they can of the world that they can put in
right
to the song. And we've talked about this idea like Ray, Leanne Rimes, etc. and so on many times before, but their team was quite smart about this, I think. And yeah, they're just like, what would happen to an 11-year-old? This.
They were not trying to make Criss Cross into tiny adults. They were letting them be right. very sophisticated children. And there's an important distinction.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think child stardom exacted its toll on yes. one of them, unfortunately.
Who died way too young.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think it was because, I certainly don't think it was because they were given material that they couldn't lift. And it's, I mean, it's really too bad because they had, and like the backwards clothing, like whatever. If it hadn't been them, it would have been someone else who tried to get us all to do that.
Well, you might remember that they were in a feud with Another Bad Creation because Another Bad Creation said that that was their idea.
Yeah.
And you're like, is it really worth fighting about this?
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me that we're still in a fight with Nick Reinwald Jones for making us listen to Aisha like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's right, Nick.
And now I'm in a fight with myself because having uttered the name of that song, it will be stuck in my head.
Yeah, good point. Unfortunately for us all.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, that's 5 of our 10 episodes, and this conversation has gotten quite intense, and I don't see it slowing down. So I would suggest that we put a pin in it here, and we call this the end of side A. Yep. And we'll be back next time with side B. 5 more embarrassing hits.
So, on an unexpected Beats Around the Bush episode 7 bonus, you will be hearing, just a reminder, about Marky Mark and his Funky Bunch, MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, and 2 by Young MC. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the extra episode that we had a feeling might happen because of Cringe Hop. We will see you back here at that time. In the meantime, please visit us on Patreon, patreon.com/mastass, where you get extras and conversation with your fellow listeners. And we're still on Twitter at TalkSongs.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Sarah D. Bunting and Mark Blankenship. That's me. And edited by Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. This podcast is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
And if you want to talk about songs, suggest a season theme, get a pop chart reading or customized playlist, or have a cocktail with us and your fellow listeners, then come on by our Patreon page at patreon.com/mastass, where you'll find polls, happy hours, and tons of extra episodes and content.
We're also at TalkSongs on Twitter, at Mastass Everywhere on Instagram, and mastass.podcast on Facebook. Or just email us, talkaboutsongs@gmail.com. All that contact info will be in our show notes. Scroll down. Hope we'll be talking about songs with you soon.
Thanks for listening.
Brow. It's hard for you to think, but you don't need to very much, because the voices in your head usually tell you what to do. You consider yourself to be invisible. And it's true in a way, because everybody can see right through you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Yeah. You know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells.
amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience.
Hmm.
Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.